are the words of this song of praise. David sang to the Lord the words of this song. When the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all enemies, from the hand of Saul, he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my manner of salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. Violent people, you save me. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise. I will call upon you." I'm going to sing a phrase and you're going to sing back to me.
That's him coming.
Soul on fire. Kind of reminds me of keep your lamps burning. You know? And that little light of mine, don't let Satan blow it out. Keep that light shining for our Lord Jesus. Got some announcements here for everybody today. And just want you to know that today, everybody needs to eat. So there is lunch today. That I want to remind you that because of the COVID-19, you know, a lot of Pastor Tim and Bev's meeting people and the fundraising that they do for reaching the unreached, it's just tough, isn't it? Just really hard. So today at the Bible Camp Conference area, everybody knows where that's at. Probably except me. But I saw the signs as I came to church today that if you would like to go and pick up a pork sandwich, baked beans, a pickled spear, and an apple pie bar, they will box it up and bring it out to you. They just ask for a free will offering. They'll go towards reaching the unreached. Imagine if you write a check, you put that on a check, right?
We'll have buckets. You can just
put buckets in there, reach the unreached. And that is to the ministry that they do. You didn't get over there this September, did you? It's on in Western Africa is where they go. Ivory Coast area, kind of right where the armpit is there in Africa. I should call it armpit, but it's that little thing right there. That is where they do the ministry. In Togo is one of the places. That was the Ivory Coast. It used to be called the Ivory Coast type of a thing. So that is where they kind of do the ministry, and they help pastors with their finances there, I believe. There's like 20 missionaries and their families that they are helping over there. Their annual budget's about $100,000 that they'd like to kind of raise. They usually can do that when there was no COVID-19. Now it's all new. And so if you can help out that way, like to get something to eat today, be mindful of that. It's from 11 o'clock this morning until 2 this afternoon. And I'm sure there is somebody from the church here who's going to be serving those sandwiches, boxing them up.
We'll be there.
Yeah, so be there. Come this afternoon. And they'll go as long as there's pork. When the pork runs out, guess what? You just get an empty box with a pickle in it, probably. But the pork runs out, that'll be the end of it. So get there early and
a lot of pork.
And there'll be a lot of pork. Makes me hungry. I think we should just cancel church and go. It's too early, though. All right. The other thing that is not in the bulletin today is that we need some help in picking up foodstuffs at Walmart and then to take them to the Upper Des Moines. This is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 9 o'clock in the morning. If you are able to help out in that way, call Charlie at the church office. And if you've got any questions about that, still call Charlie at the church office and she'll fill you in about that. We need some help in someone being able to do that and to be there. And you get those details from Charlie at the church office. Just want to remind you that Walt Meyer is at home. Walt heard this morning that his sister passed away. And some of you probably were aware of that. And so our heart goes out to Walt and to Cheryl and the loss of Walt's sister and Cheryl's sister-in-law. And it seems like every week we come up with kind of an obituary of some sort. Some sad news that's taking place with our church family, and that's kind of the way things are these days. Also want to remind you to be in prayer for Denny Kelly. He's got some eye problems. Did I say his name right?
Yes.
Okay. In North Dakota, we call him Coley. But I'm in Iowa, so we got, you know, there's different pronunciations. Like the town of Ayrshire, I'm thinking of cows. And you can tell if you're not from the state of Iowa because it's Ayrshire. That's how you say it, I guess. So I go, Ayrshire, it's about cows. any rate, pray for Denny. Got some eye problems going on there. We have, you know, the people that lost their house due to a fire in Lake Park. Just want you to be mindful that, you know, $2,000 has been raised for this family who lost everything in the fire. And we're so grateful for the generosity of those of you that have given towards that. The new church digital sign, just let you know that there's been $3,410 that's been raised so far for that church sign. And like we said, we won't get the sign until we've got all the money has come in for that. But I think that's pretty good for a short period of time. That a third of it has been raised. It's around $15,000 or so to get that sign up and let the people know that there's something happening here other than what's out there now. Also, want you to know that Christmas is coming. It's hard to believe. Now, Thanksgiving comes first, though. But then after that, there's usually decoration that happens within the sanctuary and outside. If you'd like to help in doing that, we're going to do that by the first Sunday of Advent, which is November 29th. The Sunday following Thanksgiving is the first Sunday of Advent. We start looking at Christmas and the coming of Jesus to Bethlehem. So keep that in mind. Carol, is Carol here today? Carol, there you are. How is Operation Christmas Child going?
We are going to fill the boxes on Saturday morning from 9 to noon. If you'd like to come out and help, you sure may. Each
table will be 6 feet apart. We can have masks. My goal is 60. It looks like we have enough for the park, so we'll see how many we have.
Okay.
So thank you for your generous donation. Yeah. So if you want to come and help fill the boxes, it's this Saturday from 9 o'clock in the morning till noon. You're at the church and you'll be distance type of thing. Nancy, is that you?
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned that the generous donations of the congregation. And Stephanie and Lucas are here with Lily today.
Oh,
and
okay.
So that is Stephanie and Lucas, and these are the people we prayed for and cared for. They're with us today.
Okay, Stephanie and Lucas. Thanks for meeting you. Okay, well, thanks for bringing that to our attention. There's other things in the bulletin that you can read for yourselves, but let's just pause for a word of prayer, shall we, this morning before we move on with our worship service. Heavenly Father, we come to you today knowing that we need you in our lives. And Lord, we never know the kinds of needs that we will have in life. Sometimes, Lord, there's curveballs that are thrown at us that we didn't expect. And things that happen that we just don't count on. But we're thankful, Lord, that there's nothing that surprises you. And you knew about the fire. You know about COVID-19. You know about people whose days are numbered and who will be dying. You know each and every one of our days that are here today as well. And we just pray for those, Lord, that are on our prayer list this morning, that need a touch from you, that we are to come to you with all of our needs, and that it says that you will hear them, and you will answer these prayers in your way and in your time. And how you do that is completely up to you. We are just at your mercy, but we know that you are a merciful God and you are a gracious God. And so we come to you and pray that you would just touch these people that we have in the bulletin here today that need to understand and that need to just have that sense that you are there with them going through these things that they are and you understand them completely. And Lord, we just pray for our country too, Lord. We are still in a kind of a mess with after the election, and we don't know what's going to happen, and there's a lot of different things taking place. We just pray, Lord, that your will be done and that you would just bring what is true and what is honest. And Lord, if there's any kind of corruption that has been taking place or has been going on, that would be revealed. And that, Lord, I just would hate to believe that our country has gone in the direction of where things have gotten corrupt. And maybe that's been going on for decades, and I just have been oblivious to it. But Lord, we want to live in a land that is true to you and your word, and we do not want to condone things that we already condone. Abortion is one of those things, Lord. And it seems like there's 15 states that go along with marijuana usage and for medicinal purposes is what they say, but we know, Lord, it's probably used for other things as well. And the list goes on. And so, Lord, we know we do not live in a perfect country, but we know that your word always says for people to come back. Like the song we sang today, come back. You would take us, you would receive us when we repent of our sins, and that you would call people, work in the hearts of people, even those in high places of authority in this land, that those lives can be changed. If you can change Saul of Tarsus, you can sure change anybody and make them come and be servants of yours and give a whole new direction in life. We pray that this would take place, Lord, in our country, and even in the lives of people that are here this morning, those that are tuning in on Zoom or YouTube or Facebook or however they're tuning in. We're grateful for each and every one, and no matter where they live, we just pray that your presence would be with them in a special way today. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing the old rugged cross. Take it away there, Bob. Praise man.
I also wanted to mention, just for your information, we are going to have a Thanksgiving service this year. It's 7 o'clock, week from Wednesday. I invite you to come. We're going to have
I didn't say that because I knew you would.
Yeah, well, that's how we work together. In any event, there will be a video. The band will be here to share some songs as well. Tim, I have a message. Also have a testimonial time. So put that into your schedule. We didn't have the service last year. And so I think it's important as we also pray to the Lord Jesus for the new life that he brings to each of us. And just be thankful. Matter of fact, these are words of Paul. God forbid that I should boast except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Guys, let's start off the song.
Thank you. Thank you.
the offering time. But because of COVID-19, we don't do that anymore. Until we get the vaccine or this thing passes, but it just seems to be hanging in here all the time, doesn't it? But I do want to invite you to stand as we hear God's word. If you're able to stand, feel free that you can, just to kind of move your body weight a little bit, because if you don't stand, you're going to probably fall asleep. You know? And I'd hate to call on you to say, wake up that guy. It's usually guys that fall asleep. I've never seen a lady fall asleep yet. But it does happen. Matthew has a lot of parables, and so do a lot of the Gospels. And so I read from Matthew 25. It's another parable today. I don't know if you know this or not, but I'll tell you after I'm done with this, if I remember. It's a parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. And his master replied the same as the first one. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put your money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this parable. It is loaded with a lot of things. I just ask that you help me to preach and to cover just what is needed here for us today. And may your word fall on good soil today, good hearts, to receive what you have for us today. Thank you that this parable does include all of us that are here today and those that are listening in or viewing us on their listening devices as well. Use this, Lord, as your Holy Spirit searches our hearts and speaks to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What I was going to say, I did not forget, is that if you follow the church calendar, if the church calendar starts on the first Sunday of Advent. That's the church calendar. I don't know who started it. I don't know where it comes from. But that's where it starts. And it always begins with looking at Jesus coming to Bethlehem as a babe, and it ends, the church calendar ends looking at basically judgment and what's going to happen when Jesus comes again at the end of time. So I just kind of say that that's kind of what I follow when it comes to preaching. We're on the, I don't know what year we're on, but it's one that the gospel is usually Matthew. So we kind of preaching through Matthew. And next, start a new series on Advent. I don't know which one it is, but I'm going to do something different for Advent. I want to take some of the characters that we see that you're familiar with in the Christmas story and just focus on some of those key people that we see there, or maybe the angels, who knows? We'll see what happens there for four Sundays before Christmas. So what we have here today is a couple of words. I like to make them short, what the title is, so Charlie doesn't freeze her fingers when she goes off to change the marquee out there. So I got to come up with a shorter letter for her. And so it's like, who would not want to hear these two words in his or her life today? The words, well done. What you did is well done. You know, we all would like to hear those words no matter what. And we're not talking about, you know, grilling a steak. Well done. Got that? Okay. We're talking about really what God is going to say to you one day. Will he say to you, well done, good and faithful servant? That is what is we have here before our text today. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share my happiness. The bullseye of the message today is, when life is over, what will God say to you? So that's really the bullseye of the message. Really kind of say that, you save that till the end as a preacher. I just say that at the beginning today, so that's really what the message will be like. What is it that God is going to say to you at the end of your life when you stand before him? Will you hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant? It's really a good text for a funeral of someone who has faithfully served the Lord with his or her life. But today we're not at a funeral service. We're here on a Sunday morning. The parable last week is of the 10 virgins, and the key thing there was to be wise. If you're a wise person, you will be looking to make sure that you've got enough oil in your lamp to keep that lit and to keep it, the fire burning. The text today, as it deals with the talents, it is be faithful. So it just follows the 10 virgins. Are you watchful? Are you waiting for the Lord's coming? And now it goes on to be faithful with what God has given to you, with how God has worked in your life along the way. Be faithful to what you have. Don't look at what you don't have, but be thankful and faithful for what God has given to you. The parable of the talents focuses on a master who gives and entrusts his servants with money and goes away for a long time. That's a key thing. You keep in mind that the master here gives money to three of his servants. He just gives it to them. And he's going to come back, and when he comes back, the three servants don't know when, because we don't know when the day or the hour will come when Jesus will come again. But he's going to come back, and when he does, he's going to just kind of see, what did you do with what I gave to you along the way? So there's an expectation that each will give an account on how he used what was given to him. So the first question we must ask ourselves today is this. Well, what is a talent? Now, we're not talking about, like, playing guitar up here, or singing, or playing the piano, playing the drums. We're not talking that kind of a talent. No tap dance? Did you hear that? So I can't tap dance. But you know, a talent in the time that this is being used, it is referring to money. The master gave money to three of his servants. Now, a talent was the largest weight to measure silver, gold, iron, lead, and bronze at the time that this is used in Jesus' day. And so one talent, the weight of one talent is 66 pounds, 2.2 ounces. It gets better. The value in today's currency can be drawn from the contemporary value of gold or silver. In this case, the master gave silver. And so as of Friday of November 13th, 2020, the price of silver was $24.38 for 1 ounce. Got that? How many ounces does it take to make a pound? 16. So you take six, you know, you times it by 16, and then you times that by 66, because there's 66 pounds on a conservative note of what silver would cost by today's but it's worth today. And you'll come up with this. It's $25,745.28. That's today's rate. Over $25,000. That's for one talent. Now you gave the first one how many?
Five.
So take that times five. He gave over $125,000 to the first one. The second one, he gave two talents. So a little over $50,000 he gave to the second servant. And then the last one, he gave one. Just a measly $25,000. Pretty good price. What I found in the in one of the books that I was studying from and looking at this portion of scripture in the Greek, it says a talent was 6,000 denarii. Now remember, one denarius was the wage for one day back in the time of Jesus. If you worked one day, you got a denarius. And here, a talent is like 6,000 denariuses. And so it's like, you work 6,000 days, then that's the wages that you would get. It's quite a bit. It's a lot. So the master gives his money according to each servant's ability and his potential. So you can kind of see that he knows who is going to probably do well, and he knows the ability, he knows the servant well enough. And so he gives five talents to the guy that he's kind of a go-getter. He's gonna do something with that money. There's no problem with that. And then the second guy gives only two talents. He knows what his abilities are as well, as far as, is he going to make a profit or not? And then the last one, let's just see what this guy does. I'm just going to give him one talent. And if he does well, we can always give him more as time goes on when I come back. But we'll see. Well, the master returns. And the good news is for the first two guys who received their talents. The one that received five talents, the one that received two. Because the news they received from the master is identical. He says to each of them, "Well done, good and faithful servant." and they doubled their worth. They made a profit. And they've been faithful with a few things. And he says, I will put you in charge of many things, and come and share your master's happiness, or come and share the joy that I have for you guys. I'm so proud of you. I'm glad you did it well, Dad. You know, let's just talk this over and see how this all took place. Being faithful with little, and you will be given more. It reminds me of Booker T. Washington. You ever heard of this guy? When he was just a young man, he went to clean house for a lady. And she would use the white glove test. And she would say, I want you to clean my house. And then she would go into the rooms that he was supposedly cleaning. He'd say, ma'am, I'm done cleaning. And so she would then inspect the rooms that he cleaned. And she'd go under their white gloves. And wherever she went, where Booker T. Washington cleaned, she found no dust. And he knew that she was a very difficult woman to get along with, because people would only last maybe a week or two with her. You can probably see why. But Booker T. Washington learned that if you just did what this woman wanted, you'd be fine. Little did he know that as he cleaned this house for this woman, that one day he wanted to get an education, and they said, well, you have no money, we just cannot allow you really to go to school here, but I'll tell you what, why don't you go clean the library? And so Booker T. Washington says, I know how to clean. And so he went and he cleaned the room. He went back to the register of the school and said, I'm done with the room. And she went and she looked it over and she goes like, whoa, he did a great job. And they worked it out where he could get an education and be a custodian at the school, because he knew how to clean. Now, I'm not pointing my finger at anybody here, you know, you're like, I hope it doesn't come to my house. I'm not picking on anybody here that way, but I just want you to know that if you're faithful in little things, God is going to entrust you with more. And that is a principle, and that it's very worthy to know this. To tell your grandkids what it means to work is something good to pass on to them. You know, I'm preaching to the choir here, because most of you that are here, you got a pretty good work ethic. You know what it takes to get things done and how to do a good job in what you're doing. But the younger generation doesn't have that. I don't really see it. And so it's important, if you do the little things, God is going to trust you with more. Being faithful and serving God with the little things. I mean, all of you want to be the pastor here, don't you? But you know, it's being faithful in the little things that I found in my life that's been very helpful to become a pastor of a church. Started out as a youth pastor because I didn't want to preach. But I knew I could work with kids, teenagers. And so when the head pastor one day said, Tim, I think you ought to go to seminary, I didn't want to hear that. I go, I don't want to be a pastor. I just want to work with youth. I want to be a youth pastor. He said, you can't be a youth pastor your whole life. I go, really? He goes, yep, you gotta have something to fall back on, because when you get into your 40s, you won't be able to relate to the kids anymore. And I wanted to say to him, oh yeah, watch me. I'm going to be the oldest youth pastor that's ever lived. Well, I took his advice and with the seminary. But all these times, it's just see where God has been training and using different people in my life to do the little things to help prepare me for the bigger things that will come. Not to attain anything, but it's just been helpful. I've seen God's principle at work. Be faithful in the little things, He'll entrust you with more. I hope you found that or find that in your own life as well. Well, we find with the guy who's got the one talent, and he comes up to be accountable for what he's done with his one talent, and he kind of goes like, well, Master, I know you're a hard guy to get along with, and you've got lots, and what I did with what you gave to me is I dug a hole and I buried it. And the master was not too pleased with him. He said, if you'd at least taken your talent and gave it to Joe Simonton, put it in the bank, and earned some interest. But he didn't do that. He buried it. And he calls him wicked and a lazy servant. And told him that he should at least put it in the bank. Could have got some interest. Could have got something rather than nothing. This guy is, he's got like a whole wrong thinking process of what the master is like. You know, the master is one that is wanting the best for his servants all the time. And he lost sight that the master has given him a gift and is entrusted to him what was given to him. One talent. He gave it to him that he could do something with it as an encouragement to be a blessing in his life. And if it was a blessing to him in his life, it would also be a blessing to others as well. And so his view of the master was really off the mark. He had a view of the master in a way that wasn't him at all. And so he wasn't thankful what he had been given. But rather, he wanted to do what was the easiest thing to do, which for him it was, I'll bury it. And he kind of shows that he kind of a guy that likes to take the easy way out. Just bury the money and then I'll just give him back what he gave me and we'll be done. You know, if we lose sight of God in our lives, or we have the wrong perspective of God, we're going to miss out on so many things. Most people see God as a taker. I don't want to be a part of a church because all the church wants is what? I mean, where did they get that idea? All the church wants is my money. Now, I want to say that there are churches who are like that. I never really want to be a part of a church that's all they want is money. Because I believe that God's people respond when they hear of a need. And they give according to what God wants them to give. Being a young Christian, I had no idea what it really meant to tithe. Tithing is like 10% of the income that you make. But in the New Testament, tithing can be give whatever you want. But I've always believed at least 10% I should be giving back to the church. And I struggled with that for many, many years. But then I became mature and older. And realize that tithing is a real blessing. Before I would think like, I can't, I got bills coming, I know I'm going to need to spend, so I just cannot give this time. And I lived that way for a number of years. Until one day, when I was in seminary, I told told Sharon, I said, Sharon, I think we need to start tithing, even if it hurts. And she was in agreement with that, and we did. You know something we learned? We learned that you can never outgive God. God always had a way of giving back more than what you gave. And we had no problem in paying for bills and meeting those kinds of payments that were needed along the way. And we often scratched our head and we're like, how could that be? We go like, well, we started tithing. I remember of a person that was a teller in a bank who would read on some of the checks of people, on the memo, it goes like, they had the word tithe, but they go like, they call it tithing. So you're a tithing person, you know, or a tithing. And I go like, that's somebody that really doesn't understand what that word means. But when God gives, he wants us to use it for his glory, and to trust him with that. The last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, is the only place in the Bible where God says to his people, test me. And we're to test him when it comes to giving what he's given to us and give back. And he just says, test me. It's the only place that has to do with money. God is not a taker, God is a giver. He gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God has always been a giver. He's given us his only Son so that we can be forgiven. A lot of opportunities that come our way in life, they don't come around again. They only come once. And so am I faithful when that opportunity comes? So reaching the unreached, it's an opportunity today. Next life, it's an opportunity. This church gives to a lot of different worthy causes and needs. I'm impressed with you. It's good to see you. Oh my, time's up. I'm just going to quit. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, may we be found to be people who like to give because you first gave to us. And that's Jesus. May we trust you, Lord, in our lives along the way. That you love and you care about each and every one of us. Some of us here, Lord, have done well in life. Some of us okay. Some of us it's been a struggle, but yet there's a joy of the Lord that is in our lives. And we are faithful because we love Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, use the parable of the talent in helping us to see the importance to be about your work, to be about your ministry, that all that we have is not ours, but it's yours. And we give accordingly. And sometimes, Lord, it's not always the easiest thing to do, but never once do you disappoint us. So Lord, we thank you for this parable as we think of the parables we've done along the way, that we've heard along the way. May we be ready, and now may we be faithful. Because our lives will come to an end one day. And may we hear these words from you, well done, good and faithful servant. We do that, Lord, not because we have to. We do it because we want to. And we do it because of Jesus Christ, what he's done in our lives. So may we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.